My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where I talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
I'm Ray.
And I'm Zach.
And we're here to talk about Star Wars. Zach, welcome, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, so this is technically your first time in the studio, but your first time in the podcast was yesterday?
Tuesday, and then I did Patreon with James and David after David, Ray, and I covered the Thrawn comic.
Well, there you go, man. There you go, yeah. And Zach is also from Michigan. We've been talking to him a bit, but this is kind of like his first time, like, you know, and on a podcast and all that stuff. So I'm very excited, because the way that you and I've been talking, you've got so much passion, man. So I'm excited to see that passion, like, in recording. So
I hope I don't drop the ball.
Nah, you'll be fine. Let's get into it, Ray. Take it away.
So on October 10th, the latest book by E.K. Johnston was released.
And that's about Kira.
It is.
Okay.
So I don't have the name pulled up because I don't know how to operate. You know.
You'll have that.
So E.K. Johnston's new book, Crimson Climb, was released on October 10th, and it's about Kira. I'm going to read the synopsis for you guys. Not everyone gets to be the hero. Kira listened to the dreams and promises of a boy with a reckless smile, only to be torn away from him and returned to the White Worm's gang while Han made his way to freedom. Now freedom seems like a luxury she can't afford, while she concentrates on survival and despairs of ever leaving Corellia. But her fortunes seem to turn when a representative of the crime syndicate, Crimson Dawn, plucks Kira from captivity and brings her to the syndicate's leader, the mysterious and mercurial Drayden Voss. Voss offers Kira an opportunity she's never had before, the chance to build something resembling a comfortable life if she can prove her worth to his organization. With failure meaning certain death, Kira knows she must immerse herself in the merciless, murderous world of Crimson Dawn. What she doesn't know is just who she will be if she survives.
Wait, so it's a prequel to the in a way, it's leading up to her.
It's taking place, I think, in the middle of Solo.
Yeah, okay, cool.
After the opening scene.
I think it probably picks up right when Han leaves, and then it picks up Kira's story. Will probably end just before
they meet
have
up.
That party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Interesting.
It's exciting.
I was hoping that it was gonna that we would actually get more of a story about her after the events of Solo.
I would like that too.
Like directly after, where maybe she actually would go to Dathomir and then she would talk to Maul and do all that.
She's in recent comics. Isn't she?
Yeah.
She's kind of like force sensitive, kind of.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that we know that she's alive during the time period between Empire and Return of the Jedi because she's trying to get Han Solo and Carbonite from Boba and all that stuff, which in my mind, I'm thinking she's going to pop up in Star Wars Outlaws. That honestly would make the most sense to have Crimson Dawn pop up in there. But the story sounds interesting. It's kind of like Solo. Is it? It sounds great, but was it necessary?
I think so.
Okay.
I think you're exploring what happens in that film.
Yeah.
For her. Because people, I know a lot of people I know at least, are very curious about Kira. Okay. And we're going to get a little more of her backstory in this. Hmm. And kind of who she is later in the Solo film.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Fair enough.
When talking about writing for the character, E.K. Johnston said, Kira isn't like any other main character I've built a story around. She was never going to do the nice thing or the good thing or the right thing. She was always going to do the best thing for her. And that is pretty great in terms of plot generation and character dynamics. And I loved building her a nemesis, setting her up against Drayden Voss, knowing where they're all headed. So that seems to imply to me that the book will end right about where she reappears in Solo.
Okay.
I wonder if Paul Bettany is going to record lines for the audiobook.
Ooh. Or Max Rebo shows up somewhere. He's alive during that point?
He's making a name for himself.
I can't make any comments because of my obsession with Sabe.
Yes.
So
I'm the new guy and I don't want to get kicked off for making jokes too soon.
But I'm curious to read it because I don't know a whole lot about Crimson Dawn.
Okay.
And while I have not continued making my way through the 2020 Vader comics, I know Sabe does join Crimson Dawn as an undercover agent.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to learn more about that.
Honestly, I don't mind the books. I don't mind the novels and games and everything, but seeing her, I feel like seeing a character story more throughout actual media. So like in a show or a movie, I think seeing Kira on screen again and just kind of just having her journey continued from where we left off in Solo would be great. I was expecting to be in the Book of Boba Fett, actually.
Yeah.
Because
did we have her on our bingo card?
No, I don't think so. I followed that thing religiously. I don't think think it was on the bingo
card. No?
I know Max Rebo was.
And
that spot was checked off.
I remember like that day was yesterday. It was fantastic. Oh, man. But yeah, no, I am very excited to explore more of the underworld. And if Kira is part of that during the Mandalorian timeline, that would be pretty cool.
It'd be
pretty cool.
Pretty gnarly.
And to see maybe Han kind of see her and then Leia's right next to him be like, this is awkward.
Then they fight.
Yep.
What?
Yeah. But that would also be interesting because if Lando was there, then Lando might become the new love interest of Kira. Or Kira's just her own thing.
Who's to say?
There's more than one way to skin a cat.
I don't know what that means, Zach.
What?
What?
What? It's more than one way to do something.
Okay.
Or go about something.
Okay.
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 Sorry, that was a bit harsh.
Wow. All right. Okay.
We're starting off strong.
Strike one.
All right. So then we have the new Lego shorts that are coming out. They've been doing kind of like a Lego holiday special for like a while now. And we're back into Halloween. The last one that came out was very sequel
kind of driven.
Yes, absolutely. Now, this one is Darth Vader in like Mando. So it's kind of jumping all over the place. Of course, you know, when people think of spooky things in Star Wars, they think of the dark side. So one episode is taking place in Mustafar. They are talking about a legend that revolves around Vader's castle. Again, nothing really is truly canon in the Lego Holiday Specials, but there are some things that I do consider canon.
I think we all know what you consider canon.
Well, if you know, then I don't need to say it. But I will say that it does look interesting, and I'm glad that we are getting more stories like that. And I think kind of staying away from anything that's happening with the sequels until the new Ray film comes out.
Yeah, because that's kind of hard to say, because I think there's a lot of speculation that like the Mandalorian and Ahsoka and all that stuff that's taking place between the end of the original trilogy and the start of the sequels is doing what the Clone Wars series did, because the Clone Wars series saved the prequels.
Yeah, bridged a lot of the gaps.
I think that the shows that we're seeing now that take place in that time period are helping to bridge the gap.
Yeah.
So we might not see many sequel-specific things, but I think we'll get hints.
Well, and we are a lot closer to the end of Return of the Jedi, than we are to the start of The Force Awakens, right?
That's
for I guess, like, where the Mando timeline is right now.
Oh, yeah.
We're a lot closer to the end of Return of the Jedi, so naturally we're probably going to see a lot more of the original trilogy characters.
We're slowly seeing stuff from the sequels,
yes,
because in Season 2 we got like the clone
Senator
tubes.
Ziono. Yeah. Well, that was, I guess, Ahsoka, but that's kind of Resistance, and that's the same era and all that stuff.
We also got the Praetorian Guards at the end of Season 3. Yeah. Seeing that was amazing.
That was cool.
I love the lineup. It was Paz Vizsla go like that, but at the same time, it was awesome to kind of see the Praetorian Guards introduced in that way.
Kind of a true warrior's death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But and then we also have I'm leading up to possible release date for Skeleton Crew, but there's one more big thing that I did want to talk about, which is they are introducing...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Different characters from the High Republic novels into the Young Jedi Adventures, which takes place during the High Republic. Have you guys watched any of that? I mean, it's a kid's show.
I was just going to say, is that a kid's show? Yeah.
But when you say it's a kid's show, I hear people say it's the Clone Wars, and I'm like, oh.
This one specifically is a kid's show.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
A kid's show and Clone Wars, a kid's show, are two very different things.
Yes, that's true.
This is actually a kid's show.
This is on Disney Junior as well. So
Clone Wars was an animated show that you would think is for kids, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Yes.
Especially scenes after like Savage Opress would throw his lightsaber and decapitate six of the Black Sun in the underworld, and people are like, yeah, it's a kid's show.
Just pointing to the episode where you see Darth Maul again and he's that big scorpion robot thing.
Yeah.
That was horrifying, and I'm a grown adult.
I love seeing the weirder side of Star Wars, and I think Ahsoka was that. That was definitely a Dave Filoni project, because Dave Filoni liked to bring out the weird side of Star Wars and the Clone Wars and Rebels and all that. And that definitely showed in the Ahsoka TV show.
I loved seeing the witches, and I want more of them.
I think we'll get more of them.
Oh yeah. Cause they went back to Dathomir. And at that point in my mind, right. So I'm just like, if they're going back to Dathomir, Night Sisters, that would be a great way to bring Marin from Survivor and Fallen Order, because it's like, hey, we have the Night Sisters on the dark side. Why don't we bring her into the fight with Cal Kestis, which we all want?
Yep. We can only hope they're not on Tantalor at that point.
Yeah. Because at that point, we don't know what has happened in the third game yet.
Yeah.
My guess is probably get the game maybe like in 2 years. So probably like in 2025.
I'd say that's a safe bet.
Probably around the same time as Star Celebration in Japan. And they'll probably hype up the game again. And they'll do all the promotions like at that.
Yeah.
At that convention.
Oh, yeah. That'll be sweet, man.
And I hope there's one neon sign written in Arabesh that says milk.
You were just called out on that too.
So somebody said that it only happened once. Which, I mean...
That's not true.
It's understandable because you don't really pay attention to all the Arbesh in the background because not many people read it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine that I got to meet at Celebration, Bucky, their whole TikTok account, most of the videos on there are just translating Arbesh from different parts of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Arbesh in the Star Wars Lego game is hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of like roasting jokes.
I'm trying to remember when those popped up throughout the game, because weren't those like after you beat a level or something like that, they'd pop up?
There's some during the boss fights too.
It was the boss fights, that's what it was.
Because there was one roasting General Grievous of where it's like he's obsessed with lightsabers and he's not a force wielder, and it was just those type of jokes.
Didn't Anakin say daddy issues or something that?
Yeah.
That was cool.
I am now determined to go through Star Wars visual media and read all of the neon signs in Arbesh and find how many times milk is appearing on the screen. It is my favorite thing.
Not all heroes wear capes,
but they do like milk.
Yes they do.
Don't get me started on the Great American cheese conspiracy, because I think that milk appearing in Star Wars like this is just the intergalactic version of the Great American Cheese Conspiracy. Look it up if you don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know about that.
You will be entertained.
I don't know about that, but okay. One of our listeners says, some people call anything animated, a kid's show, even though animation was originally created as entertainment for adults.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true. And I definitely have friends of mine that I still try to sell the Clone Wars to. And when Darth Maul came back in the Clone Wars, I was probably in like fourth or fifth grade or something like that. Oh, God,
dude, I feel old, man.
Sorry. Jeez. Well, I was doing this to David and James the other day, so I guess that's kind of my thing. But anyway, I was telling my buddies, like, guys, Darth Maul's back. He didn't die. And what are you talking about? He got cut in half. I'm like, dude, it's in the Clone Wars, but that's animated. That doesn't count. And I have a lot of words for that.
Oh, now. You sweet summer child.
It's very interesting because back in the day, a lot of people didn't really consider. I mean, some people didn't consider the Clone Wars canon. And at that point, there was Force Unleashed and all those other games. And they were like, well, if Clone Wars is canon, then the Force Unleashed has to be canon. But that doesn't make sense because Starkiller is so OP and like all this stuff. And then Disney got the rights.
Yeah.
And from there, it went from to not canon to canon with the Clone Wars. And then people were like, okay, so Darth Maul did survive. He is alive.
But his end in canon is different than his end in Legends.
Yes.
Because Vader kills him in Legends, right?
Yes. Yeah. In that comic series, right?
That was supposed to happen, I believe, originally at the end of season two for Rebels. I think the intention was for Vader to kill Maul, but then they brought out his poetic ending, and I think we all love that.
And you're in the process of watching Star Wars Rebels, right?
I have not started.
Wow. Why is it? Because it's animated?
Yes. No, I just haven't had time to.
Did you watch the original 2D Clone Wars?
Yes.
No.
There's a theory behind that being the actual canon Clone Wars to this day, and that the Clone Wars show that we have seen is propaganda because of Tom Kane's narration at the beginning of every episode. I don't know. That's
an interesting theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know. I've heard one person say that, so maybe.
Something else is that not that many people have watched the 4-hour supercut of Revenge of the Sith. Zach is one of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, which.
So is that Revenge of the Sith with Clone Wars content cut into it?
Yes. Yes. Including
Battle of Coruscant.
Oh, so it's everything.
And
yes.
And remastered and restored deleted scenes as well.
You can tell when they're deleted because they're just a little fuzzy, but they do.
It's justice. Really good.
It works.
It's really, really good. And
I want to add the bit of Tales of the Jedi when Ahsoka's at Padme's funeral.
Yeah.
Like that needs, I mean, this came out like May 5, 2020.
Yep.
I don't know. I remember that. Yeah, and then Tales of the Jedi came out. I'm like, ooh, there's more you could add. And obviously, you know, you could add the Bad Batch stuff. You could add all kinds of Order 66 scenes from across all Star Wars media. But then
it appears becomes everywhere.
Wait, you did watch it, though.
Me?
Right, yeah. I thought you watched it because of I felt like Sam and I did a commentary when Sam was in the podcast. No, you weren't there? Mm-mm. I swear you were there.
I did a couple commentaries on Clone Wars episodes.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay.
On our Patreon.
Okay.
Patreon.
Because of there's so I loved that cut and I still watch it to this day. To me, that's like tradition on Star Wars Day.
That's what I do. Like, that's exactly what I do.
It's so good.
We just group watch party.
Yes. And including the Ewok movies, because you haven't seen those yet.
I haven't seen the Ewok movies or the holiday special.
I feel like we tried watching the holiday special with a couple of our friends from the 501st.
So in the quarantines, when we were still in lockdown,
the dark times.
We did a like FaceTime with a bunch of people from our garrison and base. Yeah. And somebody
put on the holiday special,
but I don't think the audio was playing and they were just fast forwarding to different clips. So I didn't get any. I'm sure the story doesn't really make sense, but I didn't get any of the story. So
here's the thing. I thought it was hilarious of when Disney was like, hey, you know, the holiday special is not the greatest, but we are going to include it here and there in some of the new canon. And then last year at Galaxy's Edge, everyone was just like coming in dressed up. Some people were wearing the Life Day robes. They actually sold some of the Life Day robe snuggies. I got one. I was so excited about that. And then they were selling like the Life Day orbs and stuff like that. And then at the end of the night, there was a big giant Life Day picture in front of the Falcon. Wow.
So what I'm hearing is that despite George Lucas's best attempts, the holiday special is canon.
Of what you're saying is true.
Yeah.
From a certain point of view.
I need a supercut of all the times you say that.
Yeah.
Compilation.
Yeah. Oh man.
I think you should prioritize watching those before Rebels.
She was force ghosting you guys, is what someone said. You can find the supercut on, it's on Reddit still, right?
It might have been taken down.
Okay.
Because when I was downloading it, like I got it downloaded to my computer and then I think it got taken down.
I saved somewhere. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
sell it on flash drive copies off the record.
You shouldn't. Yeah. No,
I'm just kidding.
Don't say that.
I'm just kidding. I'm not smart enough to transfer files.
Yeah. No, they also had like the extended cut of the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones on there as well. I can't think of the user for the life of me, but
I can't either.
Yeah. If there's another friend film coming out where someone just made a cut of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series and they made it into like a movie and they added a bunch of things. They animated a bunch of different things in there. It's been in the works for almost 2 years now.
Yeah. There's been slight updates here and there. And
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I am looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's crazy, but some fan films, I'm just like, these should be canon. There is Star Wars, a X-Wing story. Have you seen that one where it's like, and it is in the, it's the Battle of Coruscant, but during the Galactic Civil War and they're fighting through the city and there's Star Destroyers everywhere. And then in the end, it's the Executor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
It rises out of the planet and destroys the old Senate building on Coruscant and it rises up and then like launches into hyperspace and takes through. It looks like the timeline is between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Huh.
But yeah, no, those, there's a lot of fan films out there that are fantastic.
Yeah.
No. You seemed very puzzled.
No, I'm going to say it.
I was thinking.
Oh, no.
I was listening to I listen to podcasts while I'm at work, and I was listening to And That's Why We Drink. And
okay,
it's Supernatural and True Crime Stories.
Okay.
And the last episode that I listened to, the true crime one, was about a serial killer and he got his start in movies with a Star Wars fan film that was incredibly popular.
Well, now I'm puzzled.
I don't remember which one. I don't think they ever said the name.
You can't say that.
I don't think they said the name.
Oh man.
Okay. They just said it because the podcast hosts, I don't think, are into Star Wars. So I don't think they even bothered getting the name. Enough. I also found out Ed Kemper narrated Star Wars audiobooks. And he was also a serial killer.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yikes.
I mean, hey,
spooky season.
Yeah, it's Halloween.
But they have since been re-recorded. So those are old. So feel free to listen to the audiobooks.
Okay. So kind of steering away from that.
Anyway, Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew, January 24th, 2024.
Is that a rumor or is that confirmed?
That is the alleged release date.
Okay.
So every time a show comes out, there's something called copyright, and then they have to announce the actual
like release date.
Sif, I can't say the name of it for the life of me. Sif, Gnosis,
right? Synopsis.
Thank you. Yeah. See, I can't talk. But they released that of the show pretty much, and basically it's these kids that kind of go out on their own, explore their home, but they realize that their home is not as safe as they thought it was. And then they get lost in space and they run into some very interesting characters. One of them is a force wielder played by Jude Law and so on and so forth.
And one of them will be Hondo.
I'm telling you, I'm hoping so, because we've already got a pirate character in there, which is Vane, which we briefly saw in Mandalorian season 3. What is funny about that?
I'm so sorry. I totally forgot that there was a pirate named Vane in Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Because I
Pizza the Hutt, but it was his brother Salad the Hutt. Yeah.
I had to actually pause it when they said his name was Vane and he was a pirate.
Yeah.
Because Vane is a historical pirate figure.
Yeah.
Charles Vane. He sailed with Anne Bonny and Calico Jack Rackham.
There are a lot of pirate like actual pirate preferences, like when they showed up, because you had that one alien that looked like Smee from Peter Pan, because if he had like the white and blue like shirt on,
yeah. Yeah,
and he also had like some type of like red beanie on too.
Yeah, so, as soon as they said that his name was Vane, I was like, "Ooh, are we gonna meet like Calico Jack or an Anne Bonny or Mary Read?" I'm a pirate buff. I like pirates. I mean, as as seen when I was talking about Ray Stevenson in Ahsoka, how his performance reminded me so much of his performance in Black Sails as Blackbeard.
Oh, okay.
So I'd love to see pirates in Star Wars in live action.
I mean, some people do say that the Hondo Ohnaka is the Jack Sparrow of Star Wars.
Yeah,
that tracks.
Where's his jar of dirt?
That's a good question. I don't know.
We haven't seen it yet.
No.
What do you think's inside it?
Oh man,
spice.
But yeah, man, no. It's tragic that we're not getting it this year, but it's nice that most likely we're still going to be getting a lot of Star Wars next year, because we got that. We got Skeleton Crew. We got Acolyte. We got Outlaws. Andor Season 2. Bad Batch Season 3. Mm-hmm. And Tales of the Jedi. Did I already say Tales of the Jedi? No. Oh, no. Tales of the Jedi Season 2. Which we still don't know what exactly is happening with that.
Yeah.
What story could that be? I would love to see maybe a younger Baylan and then his kind of story leading up to what we see in Ahsoka.
I'd like to see him meet Anakin or just talk to Anakin, or
yeah,
I don't know, get Matt Lanter back. I know you guys have him in your back pocket, Disney, and he's ready to go, but
yeah,
I can never get enough of hearing Matt Lanter's voice.
Absolutely. Someone had a great idea, and I think we should totally do this. Let's do a quick rankings of, because there's so many Star Wars projects now, let's just do the Skywalker saga of the complete rankings. Like, we'll start with one. Yeah. Like the Phantom Menace, and then
no spinoff movies.
No spinoff.
Okay, movies. Just 1 through 9.
Yeah, cool. And then we just kind of, you know, cool, say our rankings.
Yeah,
and then we a quick kind of summary of why we think it's that.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Okay.
All right. The Phantom Menace. Zach, we'll start with you.
Man, I mean, I feel like it depends on like the day for me, but I'd put the Phantom Menace probably at number 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
See, yeah. I don't know if I can do like specific numbers, but I can say like a top 3, middle 3, bottom 3.
Okay.
Huh.
I think Phantom Menace is in my top 3 just because I love Naboo.
Okay.
And I love seeing Naboo in the culture and everything.
Yeah.
Also, not going to lie, The Handmaidens. After reading the E.K. Johnson Queen's Hands trilogy, it adds so much more to that movie.
Okay.
So I really like that one. That one's probably up in my top.
Okay.
It is a good one.
Probably out of all of 9 movies of the original, I'm probably going to give it like a, I will put it 4 in my ranking, but I actually meant like out of, from a scale from 1 to 10.
Oh,
what we thought.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't explain that.
All right.
Okay. So cool. We don't have to put these things in order.
No, because okay, that would take forever.
Yeah. I don't have that kind of memory.
I would not give it a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
I'd give it a good 8, a hearty 8.
Solid 8.
Because
okay,
I was the target age for it, of being -1 years old when it came out.
I was going to say you weren't even born.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, I guess when the re-release came out in 2011, I was the target age for it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
No, I loved it. I never saw anything wrong with that movie until I discovered the powers of the internet.
Okay.
Because I was a wee little
okay
lad.
8. Solid 8. All right.
I think I'd have to go with 8 as well.
8 as well? Okay, yeah.
Because
yeah,
it does have its problems.
But it's got consistency.
Yeah. It's good. I don't mind Jar Jar. It's the animation of him that I don't like.
They were testing things out.
I know. Yeah. It's
I bet we love you.
You got to give it grace because of the time period.
Yes.
Technology wasn't advanced. But as a character, I don't hate him as much as like so many other people, like always super annoying. Like I understand he's annoying, but it's more the visual for me that I didn't like.
I mean, George Lucas did say he was the key to all.
I mean, yeah. But I'm going to say it. I don't like in The Phantom Menace how Anakin is so overpowered. He is 9 years old. He wins the boon to Eve miraculously. He's never finished a race before.
Hold up, miraculously.
And then he flies into space and blows up a space station, even though he just won the boon to Eve. He's not that good at flying. He's 9 years old. He's nine.
But he's good at spinning.
He's good at spinning. He's 9 years old.
Yeah.
He's force sensitive. He's that, the chosen one.
That can't be the excuse for everything.
You can't put logic into Star Wars.
It's true.
You can't do it.
Tell that to all the people who hate Rey.
That's a fine point, actually, because Rey did the exact same thing. She didn't have any force training or anything, and she beat Kylo in a fight. It's just like,
here's the thing with that specifically. Rey grew up on Jakku alone from a very young age, okay. And she only had her staff to protect her. She's been fighting with a stick her whole life. Now you give her a stick that has a laser on the end, she can still fight with that.
Yeah.
So she's not trained to go against somebody like Kylo, yeah, but she can still put up a fight.
Well, and he got shot with the bowcaster, but yes, I mean,
he is also in pain. Also, he is not trying to kill her. So he's not trying to kill her.
Yeah.
So he's, in a sense, going easy on her.
Well, he wanted his Vader fanboy memorabilia and couldn't get the lightsaber, because we got like the Sword in the Stone analogy a little bit.
Yeah.
He's reaching, and then it wiggles, and then shoo, flies right past him, and there's got to be a reason she has it, right? I mean.
Anakin Skywalker was the chosen one.
Okay, but that can't be a Band-Aid for everything.
But he was. It was written, all right? Think of George Lucas as the writer of the Bible, right?
Whoa.
So
that's a tall order.
Well, okay, I'm pausing you on that one, because the Force has been said to be an analogy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And Anakin was born without a father. He
was created with midichlorians.
It was immaculate conception, and so was Jesus.
Yeah.
It's slightly uncomfy. Anyway, continuing. Here's the thing. We talked about this last week.
This is movie number one, by the way. We still have.
Yes. Colin, what do you think?
We still have eight. Well, I'm getting there.
I know. We talked last week about the Chosen One prophecy.
Yes, we did.
Because in episode 3, you said that they said the prophecy could have been wrong.
Yes.
Could have been.
So there's always the chance that Anakin wasn't the chosen one. We don't know for sure. It's not written in stone anywhere.
I'm telling you, if they explain that in the new film coming out with James Mangold, Dawn of the Jedi, that's just like a working title I'm coming up with. That's like the age of where the film's going to take place. But if they explain the chosen one prophecy, because the only person that actually knows like really what the chosen prophecy is George Lucas and Dave Filoni. It's just like how George knows the origin of where Yoda's from,
but they won't share,
and they're not going to add that into canon because it adds to the mystery.
Yes,
so
we need a little bit of mystery.
Right,
not every question has to be answered. And so I hate to say that as a fan.
That's why I kind of like that we don't know about the chosen one, because it could be Anakin, it could not be.
Right, I know.
It adds the mystery.
It does.
It's Max Rebo.
I mean, he's...
Yeah.
He is very powerful, but I think at 9 years old, blowing up a spaceship when he's...
All right, hold up. Let's
he put never this left into, the planet.
Think about it this way. Have you ever played the Lego Star Wars level with the pod racing? If that kid driving the ship through that level, like, can make it through that level... You could blow up a space station easy. That's like the hardest level in any video game ever.
Like of the original Lego.
Yeah,
Star
sorry,
Wars,
the yeah. original like Ma'am. Lego Star Wars 1 or Complete Saga.
Yeah, yeah.
Level either way, but
she doesn't get that because she's not a gamer.
No,
that's okay.
But he was nine.
Yeah.
Have you met a 9 year old?
As a former 9 year old,
that's second grade.
Yeah.
You Wait, can't hold, put no, logic no, into Star
grade.
Wars.
That's third grade.
You can't put logic into Star Wars.
Chime off in the comments. Was Anakin a little too strong at 9 years old?
Someone said that Kenobi was the chosen one. Oh boy. Okay. Anyways, here's my ranking of episode one. And yes. I'll make it, you know, more short and brief than my other co-host over here. It's got the lightsaber fights between Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, and Darth Maul. That changed the way that we look at lightsaber fighting.
Yeah.
It was a great way to introduce the quotations be, because now it's like it's no longer the prime of the Jedi, but back then it was the prime of the Jedi. So we are seeing Jedi being Jedi, fighting full hardcore. And it was awesome. And the whole Duel of Fates of the song, the fight, everything, it had a larger meaning than what it actually meant. And I loved that. Pod racing was a big hit for me too. I loved that, you know, it didn't really have a big plot point in the movie. It was just there. And the main thing about it was if Anakin loses, they don't get the part for the ship. But George added it in there and it was like, this is sick. It's like NASCAR, but with, you know, Star Wars.
But I love how the crowd was actually just multicolored Q-tips.
Yes.
For filming.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
I do like that as well.
So no, I really enjoyed it and I loved how it did add more. It did add more mystery to Star Wars and like of how Palpatine came to be. And then probably one of the coolest music things ever is at the end of the Phantom Menace. You hear the Gungan. Yeah, right.
The celebration music.
But if you slow down, it's the Emperor's theme.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Dun 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 dun. But if you slow down, dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole new layer to things.
Yes.
Also,
it's so cool.
The Phantom Menace has Padme's $6,000 dress that was operated with a car battery.
Whoa.
Really?
The throne room gown. The little lights in the skirt powered by a car battery.
That's cool. Did she have to stand on a stool like to get that thing to like touch the floor? Was that like fitted for her to stand like normally?
No, she was fitted. It was fitted to stand normally. I think it was a cord running to it.
That's awesome.
That's my guess. I haven't seen photos.
That's so cool.
But episode two. I mean, I can state mine with episode two right now. It's a zero.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I really don't like episode two.
Like how Anakin doesn't like sand?
I'm probably going to give that movie probably a six.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is where things get controversial. Like, I might give it a six or a seven, probably a six.
Six.
Based on that look, I'll go with
six.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... Padme feels very inconsistent to me in that one.
It's like, no, I don't love you, but I love you.
I know. It just, she keeps going back and forth and it seems a little out of character for her to me. Like once she falls in love with Anakin, she gets more of a consistency again.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because Anakin does not stop looking at her. And she says, stop, you're making me uncomfortable.
Is that when he touches her arm?
No, that was when she was packing to leave.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And at that moment when she says that, it cuts to Dorme in the background helping her pack, and she just, like, smirks. So, I feel like, I don't know, I don't like the development of Anakin and Padme's relationship in Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
It feels weird. It feels unnatural. It feels forced.
Forced. Nice.
But.
Huh.
Okay.
I honestly just get through it because I always want to hear the seismic charge from Boba Fett's starship. Because
Twitch.
Because we can't say Slave One anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. It's no longer canon.
Does it have a new name?
Boba Fett Starship.
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid.
It is a little como se dice, silly. Yeah.
It should have a name.
Yeah. The seismic charge dropper.
His like actual class of ship is the fire sprayer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because when you say seismic charge, I guess when my dad bought a surround sound system for our house when I was growing up. Oh,
it's so good.
The sales guy was like, hey, kids, you like Star Wars? We're all under 10. We're like, yeah, me and my brothers. And and he plays the seismic charge sound from Attack of the Clones
yep.
to sell the surround sound. And
yep.
that was a shut up and take my money moment right there for yeah. my dad. But yeah, no, that's cool.
I'm keeping it short.
Cool.
That was mine yeah. on
yeah.
episode two.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that, and then for me, just a giant, the giant arena fight with like all the Jedi and
yeah.
and just seeing these characters that we saw in the beginning of the film, like Kit Fisto and them, like
yep.
barely having any lines, and then yeah. all of a sudden, Kit Fisto's doing his thing.
Smile.
He's smiling. He's just
yeah.
taking down droids. Beautiful.
What I do like about that movie, specifically in the Geonos battle scene, is when they're handcuffed to that post, as they're going to be hooked to that, Padme pulls out a bobby pin from her hair.
Space bobby pin.
Yeah.
And that's what she uses to unlock the handcuffs.
Yeah. She seems to be on top of things.
Just let the women do the work.
Yeah. So, okay, now, she also fell pretty far and landed on that beast that Anakin tamed.
I was about to ask, can you guys name all those creatures? Because no.
I was able to at one point, and then...
I can't believe it's still implanted in my memory, but there's the Reek, which is the giant, like...
Spider?
No, that is a Ekle. The Reek's the giant rhino creature.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the Nexu, which is the wolf creature, which you had to fight a bunch of them in the Jango Fett game called.
Yeah, I just downloaded that on my yeah, PlayStation.
Called Bounty Hunter. Yeah,
should give it a gander.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Cool.
But yeah, Attack of the Clones. All right, here we go. Revenge of the Sith.
10, 11,
10, 12, 100,
10,000. More.
All in advance.
It's a great movie, Ray.
8. I'm not a huge fan of the prequels.
It's okay.
One of your favorite characters is from the prequels.
I know. I can like it and acknowledge the flaws.
Yeah. I can respect that. I mean, it's not for everybody, but
I'm really scared to ask you of what you think the flaws are in episode 3.
Let's talk about
the prequel trilogy
okay.
as a whole.
Yeah.
Okay.
But... I'm not a fan of the prequels, even though I love Padme and Sabe and all the handmaidens.
What are your flaws for episode 3, though?
I don't know, just general prequel inconsistencies.
Okay.
Right. Also, yeah. Anakin's a little whiny all the time. But so was Luke. It's a I think it's a family trait.
I want to go to the Tashi station and pick up some power converters.
In Luke's defense, he like definitely gets that from his dad.
it's a genetic trait because it skipped Leia and it went right into Ben.
Twins.
It went from Anakin to Luke to Ben Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah, really innate.
Yeah.
Just think about the opening scene, the Battle of Coruscant. Isn't that a perfect opening to a movie?
Oh my gosh, guys. It's been years since I've seen it. Calm down.
Okay, well, when we rewatch the 4-hour cut, then...
Okay.
Okay. You're like, okay.
See, now, there's actually, I think, a 4-hour cut that George Lucas had originally that's in the vault at Disney
yeah,
somewhere.
That we haven't seen. Which Let's we'll go. Probably never seen. There's also something that I love, but we never got to see either, is... Steven Spielberg actually directed the scene of Order 66, and there's a whole other cut as well, which is just
a little more.
It's so violent. It's so gruesome. Quillen Voss is in it.
Yeah,
you.
Oh, we need more Quillen Voss.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, no, there's a lot that happens in that. But yeah,
yeah. I used to call Revenge of the Sith a chick flick because it's kind of a story based on a relationship, and then a bunch of people die at the end.
Wow.
I hate to say it.
You're not wrong, but you shouldn't say it.
No.
All right. It's out there now. I can't retract it.
Yeah.
I'm that guy now.
But I can't say you're wrong.
All right. All right.
It's just weird.
Episode 4, New Hope.
Guys, my brain is so small trying to remember all of these movies when I haven't seen them in so long.
You're on a podcast that's Star Wars specific. Right.
I can't remember every detail.
Yeah, me either.
I have four jobs. I work four jobs.
If you care about something, you make time for it.
I work four jobs to survive. I live in America.
Mm. okay, so.
Anyway.
You're waiting for the film.
It's going to be pretty high. Probably like a 9.
It set a standard that nobody like was looking for.
Yeah.
And just a random sci-fi movie in the 70s.
Yeah.
No, it changed the way that we look at film. It changed the entire industry. George Lucas was a pioneer. He found pioneers to work on this film specifically.
Watch the ILM documentary.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's called Light and Magic. So good. Yes.
Okay, where can I find that?
On Disney Plus.
Okay.
But you gotta watch the holiday special first.
You know?
It's not on there though. The holiday special isn't on there.
George Lucas like tried to buy copies of that and throw them away, right?
Yeah. Tried to get it removed from.
But
you can never delete anything. No,
but you can find the whole holiday special on YouTube. Actually,
yeah. Probably.
Yeah, it's there, and then the same guy from Reddit that made the supercut, he like turned that into 4K. So he did his best.
Shake his hand.
That's incredible. It's just like wow. But yeah, I give the movie a 10. Just because it changed the way that we look at film. And honestly, if the movie didn't happen, a lot of other movies probably would not exist.
Yeah.
Today.
You make a really good point with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also realizing that not just with this, but anytime I have to rate something on a scale, I am very hesitant to do the extreme ends of a 1 or a 10.
Okay. Or a 0.
Yeah. See, I wasn't hesitant about that.
No, you weren't.
That was my decision.
Okay. Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, these two blur together for me, and I have the
right.
And I have no idea why, but they blur together to me. Where does the episode 5 end?
I think I'm having a heart attack. I can't believe this.
The home one, or is it not home one? It's like it ends with Luke just getting his cybernetic hand. And he puts his arm around Leia.
Yes.
R2 and 3PO yes. right there. And the Millennium Falcon, piloted by Lando and Chewie, flies off. Yeah.
And then...
Doo-doo.
You really don't remember Empire Strikes Back, Ray?
No.
That's the one with the, no, I am your father.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, good.
I would hope so.
All right, I'm just making sure.
Does that one open with Hoth, or is that the...
Hoth.
Okay. And then the sixth one.
What's it called?
Return of the Jedi.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Final answer.
Return of the Jedi. What one does that open with?
Tatooine.
What? Hang on. We haven't done the Empire Strikes Back yet.
I am trying to differentiate in my brain.
All right. I think I give Empire a 10.
A 10? Okay.
I mean, it's just, it's like the movie. Like, it just... I don't know. Like,
to me, I really enjoyed it because it dives deeper into the lore of the Force. Yes. And at the time, the like main thing that we really got about the Force was through some novels and even the holiday specials. Like, so it was very cool to have a puppet come in and be this groundbreaking character that really was like, oh my gosh, yes, it's a puppet, but
yeah.
This guy's wise.
Judge like me by my size, do you?
Yeah, and there's so many great quotes.
Yeah,
and there's so many life lessons just in the parts with Yoda.
Yeah,
and now he is one of the most iconic characters of all time, not just in Star Wars, but in cinema.
Yeah. Yes.
As soon as you hear someone talk backwards or go, like that, people think, "Ooh, Yoda."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think.
The one with the green ears.
I'm going to both make you feel real bad. The last time I watched them, I think I was in college, and college was such a traumatic experience that I suppressed a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. You and I are going to have to.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I know. we gotta replace my memories.
No, make him happy. Listen, I get it. Rebels, I get. Of you not watching all the way through. Clone Wars, I get, but not remembering the foundation of what this whole series is about? That's crazy.
If you remember, I was not raised on Star Wars.
That is true.
I saw a trailer for The Force Awakens, thought it looked cool.
That's true.
And then watched the backlog.
Yeah. Mm.
I didn't grow up on this, so I wasn't like watching it all the time.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm a big fan now, but...
What? Wait, so was Force Awakens like the first movie, like the first Star Wars movie you watched? Or
no, right. Yeah, I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, I want to see this, but I haven't seen any other Star Wars, so okay. It's not going to make sense to me. And so my dad's like, well, then we got some homework to do. And okay. So we sat down and watched all of them. We borrowed them from a family friend. However, the episode 2 case was empty.
Because it's so a gem I didn't, and he had to keep I it didn't for himself.
See, I didn't get to see episode 2 until after I saw.
And that's why you gave it a 0. See,
possibly.
I feel like
from the very beginning.
I feel like if you watched 1, 2, and then 3, you like might have at least ranked it at least a number.
Maybe.
You gave it a 0.
I did. I'm not a fan of it.
Oh, okay. So from what you do remember, what ranking would you give Empire Strikes Back?
I think I'd give it a 7 or 8.
7 or 8. Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. All right.
Hold on. I'm just going to say real quick, I'm going to give Attack of the Clones a 6. I don't think I gave it a number, but I'm giving it a 6.
A 6? Okay. Yeah.
Did I think I said you give maybe we numbers? Did
say 6. No. 6.
Maybe
yeah.
We agreed on 6. Yeah. That's when I said things get controversial. Never mind. I'm blanking.
Anyway, I think I was going to say,
we're on the same wavelength for a lot of these.
Yes, we are.
I appreciate
okay.
That.
Read.
And then there's me in the middle.
Return of the Jedi.
That's my favorite original trilogy movie.
Like, okay.
I don't know. Like, no matter what way you look at it with the original trilogy, I think they're all great in their own way. I mean, the birth of the green lightsaber was in
was in
Return of the Jedi. Yep. But if you look at the promo poster, that's...
There is a deleted scene in there where we actually see Luke
building it.
And yeah. I was like, oh, sick. I would probably give Return of the Jedi a 9. Solid
I think
9.
I would too.
Yeah.
Have we ever seen a lightsaber built in live action on screen?
Didn't Ezra do it in
technically Ahsoka would count.
It was mostly assembled by the time we saw it on the screen.
Well, it was more bare than I think what we've seen lightsaber components before.
Not in live action, but in, for example,
Clone Wars,
Jedi Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
Yep. You fully get to build your lightsaber.
Okay. Well, I haven't played those games because I don't have gaming consoles.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. So those are a big, those are definitely some examples of them building a lightsaber. But
yeah,
besides Max Rebo, a lot of people will probably surprise it and give it a 10. It's just like Rey. She didn't give the Phantom Menace, a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Even though her favorite character's in it, I really enjoy the practical effects era of Star Wars, which is 4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
And
you get a little bit of that in the sequels, but you have.
And in the new shows.
Yes.
Yes. They're leaning more towards some practical, which I really love.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the OG practical effects.
Yes. So I really enjoyed. I enjoyed Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the special edition or do you prefer the original? The OG that was actually in the theater.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean,
they I thought both those weren't available anymore.
Depends on where you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of, well, so
the black
I.
Market of Star Wars.
So I actually went to a screening. In Grand Rapids, they were playing at one of the old theaters, and it was on a laser disc. It was one of the original copies.
Well, if it's on a laser disc,
So they put it in, and I remember watching the New Hope version. It was really interesting because that scene where Han and Chewie are going around the corner, and Han's running with Z-11, and he's yelling. He's running in the corner, and then in the special editions, there's you know, hundreds of stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. He goes around the corner. There's six stormtroopers.
Six.
And
dirty half dozen.
And I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Well, and Jabba the Hutt's a man, right?
That one actually was
like a big coat, like a dude.
That was the original plan.
That was the original plan. They actually did film it, but that actually never made it
okay,
to the
okay.
yeah screen.
But I'm remembering
that. But what was great about Return of the Jedi was the original one had a lot of different things happening in Jabba's palace. Sai Snoodles was a puppet. Max Rebo was a puppet. Yes. All of those aliens were like, you know, clay and you know, silicone and all that stuff. But then you go to the special editions and half of the aliens in there are animated stuff like that.
There's a DVD collection of the original trilogy. I think it was released in 2012. And I bought those at like a thrift store a couple months ago. And the special bonus discs has like the original
theatrical love cut. Those. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's great.
I still got mine. And something else that's great about that is on one of the special future discs, it does have the Rose Parade documentary about the 501st goes to the Rose Parade. And that's actually what got into the 501st.
Oh, okay. Any chance that set is like a golden black box?
No. No.
Okay, because that's the original trilogy set tapes? That no. I have it on DVD in a golden black box, but my version of A New Hope has Jabba animated into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Then they edit Harrison Ford walking over his tail.
Yeah. So I don't think I've rated Return of the Jedi yet. I know I didn't like it as much as Empire Strikes Back. So I'd probably say like a 7 or 8.
Okay.
Which is, I think, what I did for Empire Strikes Back. Okay.
I like this comment from one of our listeners. They said, just because a person's favorite character is in something wouldn't automatically make it a 10. Hence the holiday special, even though it introduced Boba Fett. Because the first time we see Boba Fett is actually in the holiday special.
Mm.
Yeah. And something also about the holiday special as well is if we never got that, we probably would have never gotten the Mandalorian.
Or the Mythosaur.
Yeah.
Or Mando's rifle.
Yep.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or toys where kids choke on the projectile.
Yep.
Right? That was the thing? Boba Fett?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
No,
it's
I'm
part
laughing.
Of history.
That's...
It got insane. Discontinued because of that reason.
I love finding out why different toys are discontinued.
Yeah.
It's a weird problem.
But yeah, so Return of the Jedi, I am giving a solid 9. So, okay. Fast forward to a couple of years ago, 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Force Awakens. That, I before we get into the rating, I will say the hype for that was incredible.
Unreal.
I remember watching Celebration live and being like, I want to go to Celebration, and then I'm just seeing everything happening. And then as I was watching the live streams, I was building the original Lego Cantina that like came out.
Dude,
yeah, yeah.
It's got to be worth some coin.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, I loved that. So I was building that, watching it, and the trailer dropped.
Yeah,
and of just the line of the Force is strong in my family.
Yeah.
I have it. My sister has it. My father has it. You know, all that. And then you have that power too. And you just cut to Poe in the X-Wing going across the lake. And I'm just like, oh my God, Star Wars is back. Let's go. And then I just started a job at a movie theater.
Nice.
So I was waiting for that December, because I knew the hype was going to be so real for it. I think the memories and everything for that movie helped me probably give it like of the ranking in the film, because it had such a strong start. I would probably give it a solid 8.
I was going to say a 7 or an 8. I mean, I love The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Or I still do like The Force Awakens. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying I don't love it anymore, but I thought it was a really good starting point for the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And I thought I just loved it. It was good.
For me, it's a 9. I think that's partly because it's what got me into Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of has like a little special place in my heart. And I just instantly fell in love with the character Rey. She was so dynamic and interesting and
a lot of mystery.
Yeah. I was so excited to, I don't know. Even though I wasn't raised on it, after catching up and watching the movies, it still, in a way, felt like I was returning home.
Okay.
Kind of like
where you were meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of, it's like,
Chewie, we're home. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, I haven't been like waiting for this moment for like so long, like everybody else, but like, I still kind of have that feeling.
It's the big thing about Star Wars that it really connects people. There are great franchises like, you know, like the MCU and stuff like that, but Star Wars is just the, and I think we talked about this last week, that the main theme throughout Star Wars is family.
Yes.
And
Dom Toretto.
And I, yeah, yeah, family and a Corona, yeah, but a space Corona. But no,
all found family.
Yeah, and that is just being in a theater, seeing it on the big screen with a bunch of people, and you. I think working at a movie theater was also a very fun time. Because I got to see it early, and then I got, you know, I got done with it. But then I would be in the lobby waiting to hear the reactions, and the sad one of when Han dies, of like, I was getting tortured every, like, every other hour, because I would hear that, and then you would hear everyone in the theater go, no!
Oh, no!
Like, every hour, and I would just be sitting there, like, I don't want to suffer through this again. No!
You can't escape it.
Yeah. But yeah, no. I really do enjoy Force Awakens, and I think I had a strong start.
Yeah.
But now we fast forward a couple of years after that. The Last Jedi.
Two. Maybe a three.
I go back and forth on it. Because it's very different. Not just from that trilogy, but from the Skywalker saga as a whole.
Yeah.
But also just because it's different doesn't automatically make it bad.
It's true.
I think a lot of the issues people had with it is it was just too different, which is totally fair.
It was also really long.
It was. I remember I saw it in theater twice, and I remember by the time we get to the Holdo maneuver, I thought it was wrapping up at that point. And like, we still got the whole last act.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I thought that was like our like closing incident.
Admiral Akbar was robbed.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was robbed. I was so mad.
Yeah.
I was so mad. Oh man.
I'm also, I mean, it's a hindsight thing, but I am very, very sad we did not get more of Leia in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, Carrie Fisher filmed all her scenes for that before her passing, I believe.
Yeah.
Everything was intended for her to be in.
Yes.
We're kind of jumping the gun of talking about episode 9, but what they kind of brought over from what she filmed in Force Awakens into Rise, like at some moments it did feel like, oh, like you can tell it's kind of pre-recorded, but at the same time, like it fit.
Yeah.
In some of the scenes, you can tell it
was pre-recorded and they wrote the script around what audio they had of her.
Yeah.
But I didn't care.
No, I didn't.
I was getting to see Leia again after we had lost Carrie. And I didn't care that the dialogue was a little rough with her scenes. It
was good to see her.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
I loved it.
So for me, The Last Jedi, I'm going to have to give it, which this may surprise Zach and maybe a couple other people, but I'm going to give it a 4. I'm not going to give it a 1 or a 2 or like a 0. And the reason why is because there are some elements of The Last Jedi that I do like.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed Crate. I thought Crate was a beautiful planet. Every time I would go on Star Tours, I would hope I would get that planet. And including in the new Star Wars Battlefront 2, that's one of my favorite maps of just seeing just seeing the red crystal dust, just, I mean, like, of the salt.
That was very, cool. Come up. Very unique.
So cool. Yeah. So cool. And that movie is just visually stunning. The Holdo maneuver was actually pretty cool. I wish it was Akbar, but
it was insane in theaters because the audio just cuts.
It was quiet. Yeah. Super quiet.
It is dead quiet. And it's like it shocks you.
Yeah.
It looked stunning visually. Yeah. Like it looked really, really cool.
It's one of those moments where it pulls you out of the movie, but in a good way. Like you don't ever want to be pulled out from the movie.
Yeah.
But that did it to you in a good way. It was like it kind of like forced you back in your seat.
Yeah.
One of the listeners says Rian Johnson could have done a solid Star Wars movie. He just shouldn't have done it in the main Skywalker saga. And that's something that that was actually in the works, and it's still like, you know, it's kind of there, but that Rian Johnson doing his own trilogy, honestly. Rian Johnson did not do anything with any of the main characters, anything with Skywalker saga. I think the movie would be fantastic. Yeah. I'm a fan of him as a director, but when you're doing something with Star Wars and there was a fine blueprint where characters have been established for over 40 years,
yeah,
a timeline has been established for 40 years, you can't branch off and do your own thing of where you kind of rewrite characters.
Well, and the higher ups at Disney weren't 100% sure what they wanted to do.
Right.
You know, with the story, and that was part of it as well. It's not.
Well, all of that branched off when they gave Rian Johnson free reign. That was the big thing. And you realize that when you find out that of what the original script for episode 9 was, which is kind of a good segue to get into episode 9. Because the original script was Duel of Fates, and most of the film was supposed to take place in Coruscant.
Yeah.
And
Hux does the thing.
Yeah.
With Mace Windu's lightsaber.
Yes.
Yeah. R2 dies.
Yep.
I have that script on my computer, but I have not read it.
Read it.
I gotta get around to reading it.
It's very interesting. It did have a lot of scenes with Leia. And that was one big thing that they had to change. But then also because Rian Johnson did his own thing with The Last Jedi, that changed the course of what episode 9 was gonna be. So the only remaining thing from Colin Trevorrow's script is actually at Galaxy's Edge, and it is the TIE Echelon, which is like a First Order gunship that is in the First Order courtyard. That is from his script. Other than that, yeah.
Wow. I don't think I gave a number to The Last Jedi. I would give it a 5-6.
Okay.
All right. It's respectable.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
All right. Episode 9. I think the hype for episode 9 was actually pretty great as well.
I think the hype was good, but I was a little nervous.
Okay.
I guess just for me personally. Did I enjoy it? Yeah. I saw it on IMAX opening night and I did like it a lot. Visually stunning opening scene, Mustafar. Like I looked at it from the ship's view, Kylo Ren's ship's view when it's coming in, and I'm like, is that Mustafar?
Right, yeah.
Like no. I wasn't sure.
I thought that too, but then I saw the trees, and then I'm like, right.
There's nothing living on Mustafar.
And then in the novelization of the movie, it goes more into that scene a little bit, yada, 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 and there's some cool stuff. But I'd probably give The Rise of Skywalker a 6, maybe, a 6.
A 6? Okay.
A 6.
I think one thing that I would have changed, which is something that you could actually look at in The Rise of Skywalker art book, and the opening was going to have Mustafar, but also happen in Coruscant. And Kylo would go to like the old Jedi temple, and it's run out. There are these giant space wolves there that are not Loth wolves, but like it's like its own thing. And you're like, well, what's going on? He goes to the Jedi temple. He goes in there, right? He presses a button to go down an elevator. The Jedi Temple was built on top of an old Sith temple.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing. And I'm like, J.J. Abrams, you had it right there. Why didn't you do it? Why? Why? Like, why not?
It was right there.
It was right there. That would have been so mind-blowing.
We need to be going up, not down.
And that also would have made so much sense, too, just because of how corrupt the Jedi were in the prequels. Yeah. Because at the time, we didn't have the High Republic. So that would have made so much sense of being like, I'm not saying like it would be like Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything like in the MCU, but of where like Sith are among the Jedi, but more of you could feel the essence of the dark side in there. And that's why the Jedi were corrupt in the end of just kind of being the pawns of the Senate and everything. Think how cool that would have been.
Yeah, that would also probably make something in the prequels make a little more sense.
Yes.
Because one thing that I cannot get over is that Palpatine, Sidious, he was the head of the Sith. He also was Chancellor.
Yes.
He was fighting a war. He started a war to get control of a world he already had control of.
It's the Pixar dude playing chess. The meme.
With himself.
Yes. Yes.
Which is the board.
Why did he do it? He already had control.
Did you
make it believable?
Did you guys read the Darth Plagueis?
No, the
old novel.
I know some plot points.
Okay, but so something it's crazy. So if you haven't looked into it, I will talk about it really quick. There is a part in there where we all know like the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise, right? Okay, yes. Cool. So
have you ever heard it?
Darth Plagueis was the Dark Lord of the Sith. No,
it's a Sith legend.
No, it goes into deep description of how Sheev Palpatine kills Darth Plagueis.
And that was the night after he got elected, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so this is happening during the events of the Phantom Menace.
Yep.
And Palpatine pretty much gets him drunk, where Plagueis gets very weak because of of all the side effects, and then Palpatine just does the lightning crap to him a lot, and it's just so descriptive in the novel, and it's so terrifying.
Is that canon? Whoa.
No.
Ah, dang it.
Yeah.
Maybe someday, but not today.
I mean, with Acolyte, to me, that show is going to lead into what happens to the Phantom Menace. Cool. So if at the end of the show that leads into, you know, I'm Darth Plagueis. Hi, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
It has to end exactly like that.
Because
hi, I'm Darth Plagueis.
Hi, by George Lucas.
Hi. Yeah.
No, but
no. Now I need Andrew Scott to play him. Just come out of the corner and be like, "Hi,
I'm Darth Plagueis.
I gave you my number. Thought you might call."
Yeah. But yeah, no. And then we didn't get Darth Plagueis in the sequels, even though a lot of people thought Snoke at the time was Darth Plagueis as well. And then that went to complete crap because he gets killed halfway through The Last Jedi. Yeah. I remember that scene too. And I just remember everyone in the theater was just like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We've had these theories since 2015.
Yeah.
And you're just going to just... Yeah. No, nope. Nothing. Yep. He was a clone in a tube.
Yeet.
Oh, come on. But yeah, I would give, man, this is a very long description of my rating for Rise of Skywalker. Probably Rise of Skywalker, I will probably give it a 6.
Same.
Yeah. Cause it's kind of weird, but in a that the sequel trilogy has a special place in my heart just because of I worked at Galaxy's Edge and that was the timeline. Of seeing these characters and
it's a heavy influence.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And again, it's okay that you like a project of Star Wars, but someone else doesn't.
Right.
Like, that's all right. Just let it be. Don't go after that person because that person likes The Last Jedi and you don't. Because that happened a lot during the early days of when the movie came out. We're like, you can't like The Last Jedi. If you like it, you're not a true Star Wars fan. And I'm like, no, it's okay to not like a project.
You like Star Wars, you're a true Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. So
I want you to give your number before I talk more.
Man. 5?
5?
5.
Rise of Skywalker.
5.
What I liked the most about Rise of Skywalker is two parts. I love how they gave Leia her ending. I think just her reaching out through the Force and then just becoming one with the Force. Yeah. It was very beautiful.
Yeah.
Also, I got a little choked up when I saw, because Leia looks kind of weak and like is walked off.
Yeah.
And it's Billy who's walking her off.
Yeah.
And that was
above her daughter.
Yeah, that was really touching.
And then Chewie gets the medal.
Yeah. And I think what I most love about Rise of Skywalker is it's like the pinnacle of found family in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Just that end scene where Rey has had no family for most of her life.
Yeah.
She barely remembers her parents. She thought they left and were coming back. She has no idea what happened.
What about Unkar Plutt?
1/4 portion.
60 portions.
Bro, that is I'll not pay a family. For him.
What about the droid?
And just when that lady asks her who she is, and she says Rey who? And you see her pause and then turn and see Luke and Leia.
Yeah.
Basically like saying, yes, you're part of our family now. You get to carry on the legacy.
And that was a big controversy at the time.
Oh, it still is.
Yeah.
Still
is. But something that I think, all right. So the reason why I think a decent amount of people were hoping that she wasn't going to be a Skywalker, my hope anyway, was that the whole Skywalker saga is revolved around like the Skywalkers, which is totally fine. But it also in a sense is saying like, you have to be special because you're a Skywalker. That is like kind of what a decent amount of people take from it.
Yeah.
But to me, it was, you don't have to be a main character to make a difference in the galaxy. And that's what Rey was to me.
Yes. I do wish that it was still like Rey nobody.
Yeah.
Like the Palpatine connection is like hit or miss for me because she's not really, I mean, she is a Palpatine, but in a weird way, because her dad was a clone.
Yes.
Made using parts of Palpatine. So it's like, it's so he's not a clone of Palpatine.
Of what you're saying is true from a certain point of view, because Rey.
There's other like material mixed in there.
Yeah.
So she has like that through line connection to the Force.
Yeah.
But in a way, she's still Rey nobody.
Yeah.
Because she had been given the Palpatine name, she would know what her name is. She would know who her family is.
Yeah.
But her family never took that name. Her father probably has no idea who Palpatine was. Or
no,
in relation to him.
No. So her dad knew who.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. There's that book. I haven't read it, but I have it on my desk right now.
Because technically she Palpatine, probably the only people who actually uses his first name. Sheev Palpatine is her grandfather.
Yeah.
Her dad is, I don't think it's necessarily that he was a clone. I think
I need him to be a clone so I can live peacefully.
I don't know. I don't know.
He turned out better than Snoke, though.
There were there were a lot of plot holes that see again. Force Awakens had a strong start.
Mm-hmm.
You then go to The Last Jedi. You create plot points. You go into Rise of Skywalker. You create more plot points. Try and go backwards to correct things.
Yeah.
You have you have a comic book where Vader goes to Exegol. He sees everything from Rise of Skywalker, but doesn't tell his son anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell him about all the ships under the ice. He doesn't tell him about the Snoke clones in tubes or anything.
But that's a whole can of worms. That's so much.
He forgot.
So I'm just saying.
I don't know.
It just created a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But I can end the Rey Skywalker argument right now.
All right. Let's hear it.
Saying that Rey cannot say her name is Rey Skywalker is just like saying the clones can't use anything but their numbers.
Oh.
If you are saying you cannot choose your name, you're Pong Krell.
How dare you?
Nobody likes Pong Krell.
Nobody likes Pong Krell. How dare you?
Don't be Pong
bring
Krell.
Up his name.
Don't be a Pong Krell.
And the lesson that you kind of learn with that is like family isn't always determined by blood. And that's something that sorry, my nose is totally running. But we I don't know, that's something I learned kind of like through my own life and upbringing, with, you know, personal family stuff, is that that's not always the case, right? And you know, just seeing that in a movie, I thought was kind of cool and something I could relate to a little bit. And yeah, I don't know. I like that message a lot. I know it's super controversial just as a topic in general of the whole Skywalker thing, but yeah, that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. It's, again, it's okay that it's not for everyone. I think the sequels hold a special place in my heart just because of the experiences. For example, I met Rey through Star Wars, specifically the sequels. So yeah. It's just, if that didn't happen, you and I would not be friends.
Nope.
And I would not be recording this episode right now.
I would not be here causing chaos.
Yes, exactly. And actually, you did come to the private screening for Rise of Skywalker,
yes,
right? Yeah. That whole experience was super cool too, because we got pretty much everyone from our like main garrison in Michigan to go.
Yeah.
And we saw it like 3 or 4 days early. And that experience is something that I will never forget just because of all the hype was there. And then seeing everyone in the theater, I think that's something that we all didn't expect, you know, for just all of us to do. So the fact that we all got to have that experience together was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm jealous.
Yeah. I didn't know you then.
No, it's okay.
Especially because like our garrison and base is kind of like one of my found families.
Yeah.
I'm sure for you too.
Yeah.
And so being able to watch a movie about found family with my found family.
Yes.
Was also a very fun experience.
And then also fun fact, David was there too. He flew all the way from Texas. Just for that screening.
Oh my gosh.
And
I missed it.
And he got, yeah. And then he flew back a couple hours after that screening. Cause I took him directly to the airport.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool.
So Star Wars brings people together, but that's our rankings from all of us on the,
our long-winded rankings. Yeah.
Have I ever told you why I like really got into cosplay?
Why?
Because so Force Awakens trailer comes out, right?
Yeah.
Super intrigued. My friend then messages me, who I haven't talked to since like a year or so after high school. Dude, when were you going to tell me you were in Star Wars?
Oh.
And sends me a picture of Daisy Ridley holding the Force Awakens poster. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, she looks like you. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then I found out the main character was Rey. And I was like, okay, well, now we got to really play off of this. So I was like, I got to make the costume.
Yeah.
And that was my first cosplay.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And your first costume was like was also like an official Rebel Legion approved costume.
Oh,
as well.
No, it was a t-shirt, some nursing scrub pants that I hemmed really short.
Nice.
The tabards were cut off from a bed skirt.
Okay.
My staff was made out of cardboard and recycled materials I got from a local recycling center. The end caps were actually baby bottle caps.
Okay.
The strap for that was a suspender belt that I cut in half. The boots were UGG boots that I colored. The belt was scraps from some pairs of pants. The arm wraps were just strips of cloth that I sewed into a sleeve. Like,
that's cool.
It was all thrift store stuff. I want to say it cost maybe $20.
Boom.
Yeah.
And then I've just upgraded it over time.
Costumes are fun. Zach and I were just talking about costumes last night, yeah. just because of he is very interested in it.
Yeah.
It's just,
my heart is, my wallet is not, but yes.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yes. My wife is. Yeah, well, she loves me, and she loves what I love, but, you know,
yeah,
we got stuff to do.
Costuming is an expensive hobby, but it's so fun.
Once you have one, you can't stop.
Yep.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But also, there are ways to do it, like, cost-effectively.
We were also just talking about that, too, because I've been getting a lot of, messages about my Anakin. Because either people go to that route to where it's like, you know, 100% accurate, it's thousands of dollars, or it's, you know, it's kind of low budget, which is totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you find your, you know, happy medium. And that's what I did, where I found some shortcuts to where it's so, for example, my glove is, I modify the crap out of it. The buckles on that glove are from the 2005 Anakin Skywalker Halloween costume.
Oh, wow.
That I wore as a kid.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
But that glove is actually Disney screen accurate, specifically because of the buckles. So we used that glove as an organ donor, and we took those buckles and we put them on a more screen accurate glove.
That's really cool. I love that. Yeah. I want to say, when I was first approved, my shirt was just some scrap fabric that I had laying around. I got the wraps pretty cost effective. The pants were thrift store find. I made the boots from scratch, based like using a thrift store boot as a base.
Yeah.
I want to say I didn't spend more than $50. Now my costume now is probably a couple hundred, but that's because over time you like improve different aspects. So like you get different arm wraps that are a little more expensive, and then you save up for different wraps or a different belt.
Yeah.
I mean, my hit bag is a $6 canvas bag I got from the thrift store.
Oh,
nice.
And I just
ripped
it apart, re-sewed it.
Yeah. We'll definitely talk to Zach more about like getting the costume.
I have much to learn.
Yes.
Much to learn.
But I think that's everything for this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
With that being said,
I just remembered. One, Mark Hamill.
Oh yeah.
Posted to Instagram. Hey. Anything interesting happening on TV tonight?
And he showed a picture of...
No, there was no picture. It was just that. But the only thing premiering on TV tonight is Loki. So...
That would be cool. I would be very...
I'm intrigued if he's going to be in Loki. But I can't watch it because I'm here.
Boo-hoo.
So somebody out there knows before I do. So,
oh my gosh,
let's find out. Let's find out. Somebody out there knows. Let's find out.
Okay. Let's go through everything.
Any last minute comments?
None. All right,
none?
Cool.
No, I'm good. Find us on our socials.
Yep. We're on Instagram at Star Wars Stuff Podcast. We're on X, also
the app formerly known as Twitter.
Yes. At Stuff Pod, we're on Threads at Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Josh is doing some great things over there. We're also on Patreon. Go check us out at Star Wars Stuff Podcast 2187 on patreon.com. We have some great content on there. And Ray and I have revived our TikTok.
We are on the TikTok.
Yes, we are. And our email is starwarsstuffpodcast@gmail.com. Please email us and give us your reviews. We're on Facebook, Star Wars Stuff Group, and Star Wars Stuff Podcast page. We're also on Twitch. Star Wars Stuff Gaming. Zach and I are going to be reviving that as well pretty soon. Stay tuned for that. Go on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us a review. We love hearing from all of you. We would not be doing this if it wasn't for you. Any last minute things before we go? Zach, once again, welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd say share our TikTok videos to people that might be interested in the podcast, because I'm cutting clips from our episodes. So they're little funny bite-sized pieces that you could share with your friends to get them to listen to the podcast.
There are some great clips, and we're still slowly adding to the wall. But yeah, no, guys, this is just the beginning. Don't worry. Next year is going to be crazier, because we've got estimated about 6 projects happening next year. So there's of actual media content. So like games and shows and stuff like that. So,
I'm excited.
With that being said, may the force be with you.
Always.